Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the second installment of our new TGCS online series. Today, we're going to have a talk by Paulina Koniuk. Maybe I mispronounced that. I'm very sorry. She's a PhD candidate and a lecturer at the Faculty of Oriental Studies at the University of Warsaw. And her research interests range from traditional Buddhist art to modern issues such as diasporic identity and minority rights. And she gave a fantastic presentation at this year's IETS, and actually seen a few tweets about it even. And so I thought, well, great, let's use this momentum and invite her for our lecture series. And so today she's gonna workshop some of her thesis parts and components titled Tibetanness, in quotes, in Dharamsala. How does the youngest generation of artists define their identity? Paulina, welcome, and start your screen share, please.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'd like to thank the organizers, so Dan and Jake, for inviting me. I hope everything is visible. Today I would like to just give a short talk about my the topic of my thesis, more or less. If you hear any coos in the background, it's because I have a pigeon, so just don't be alarmed. So today I would like to just talk a bit about, as I called it, Tibetanness in Dharamsala. So first I would like to just talk a little bit about my research, my PhD research, not this paper in particular, because it's mostly trying to just showcase what I am doing. I'll be showing some examples, of course, but mostly I just wanted to present my work and maybe get some feedback and some fruitful discussion. The main aims and goals of my research are, as I said here, the observation of some new trends in contemporary art and also how they are influenced by the popularization on social media, because a lot of the artists choose to just showcase their works online, as this is sometimes the only way. So how this is also kind of shaping the new topics. Understanding the motives, the topics, and all about the issues that are shown by the artists. Also determining how they are approaching their identity, their national identity, cultural identity, or Tibetanness, especially by the diasporic artists, because that's what I am focusing on, and how they are showcased in this visual arts. I'm only focusing on visual arts, so like painting, digital painting, some collage, sculpture, and stuff like this. And also, I would like to provide kind of a platform for the young Tibetans, the artists, to express themselves. And as I am trying to mostly do it in an ethnographic way, as I will maybe show right now, I am focusing on just trying to give the artists themselves their voice back, and I am doing it via some interviews, mostly unstructured, sometimes semi-structured, as I have to ask about some issues that are mostly interesting to me and just give them some ideas. But mostly it's just like an ethnographic talk that we have. We go to some coffee shops or restaurants, just have some tea and talk about different things. This is also sometimes called participant observation, but definitely not in a sufficient way so far, which I will also mention. I also have a biographical approach as a context. This is both done in a way of reading already pre-existing texts and also just taking the information from the interviews with the artists. I am also doing a bit of an iconographic analysis based on the visual copies of the works, but I am trying not to look at it with my Western eye, especially that I am also an art historian, and I know how hurtful it can be to Western, to look at Eastern art via Western lens. Of course, the terms Eastern Western are here used like in a more popular sense. I don't mean to like orientalize Tibetans in any way, which here, as I said, I will try to use a most post-colonial perspective and reflexivity in my research. And the whole work will be in the form of case studies. Here, my participants, as I prefer to call them instead of subjects, as I want them to cooperate with me on this work. I want to give them back some of the agency, like I mentioned. Are young Tibetan artists mostly from Makliot Ganj in Dharamsala, but also from Delhi, which I talked with in May 2022. They are Teshi Nima, Tenzin Mille, Ngoshi, Jigme Chedak or JC, Tenzin Kelsang, and Tenzin Gyurme Doje. Here I kept the transcription of their names that is the most popular, that is used by them on their social media, etc. I'm also a sources using, like I said, pre-existing written, oral and visual sources about the biographies and the works, mostly from their own social media, sometimes some reports from events or some small interviews online they're done, also podcasts and videos as those are becoming more and more popular. And as a background, I also have to give some information about how the national and cultural identity works, the diasporic identity, especially among like such minorities as Tibetans that don't actually have like a country per se. And here I am mostly trying to choose some texts from Tibetan or Indian scholars or Tibetologists that do not have such a strong post-colonial colonial lens, of course, right? So and if I cannot do it, I just try to sometimes just talk about those things with either some Tibetans or some other scholars that could help me to better understand those concepts. So here we can start maybe with the proper presentation of today. So what is Tibetanness? Here I have some notions that were given to me by the people I talked with. Those aren't made up by me. So I paraphrased them to like sound a bit more like professional and scholarly, but here they those are of course not like code dependent, those are just given to me by different people, but here I wanted to list them. So for example, national identity without a nation or among a dispersed group, such as like the diaspora, as we know, there's Tibetans in different countries and different continents. So it's hard to just call them like a nation or say that they have a national identity, but sometimes they prefer to call it Tibetanness. A sense of belonging that is also connected with that. They need to express what it's like to be Tibetan. And this is done by a few ways, like such as an inclusion of traditional Tibetan elements into art, such as here we can see a traditional headdress and also the rosy cheeks, of course, right? And the jewelry that this girl has on the drawing. Elements of Tibetan Buddhism and imagery of the Dalai Lama, of course, but also activism and an interest in politics. Some of the people I talked with mentioned that for them, being Tibetan is always a political statement, even if they are not actually showcasing anything political in their current work, or even just their presence is considered political because of the situation of Tibet, of course. Here is one question I was asking them is, do you feel Tibetan? And the answers were generally affirmative, but usually there was a but. So here Teshi Nima, for example, said, I am human before I am Tibetan. which also is reflected in his nickname on Instagram, which is a stylized version of human. Later on, we will be able to see it because I give the links to the Instagrams. But later on in the same talk, he said that if Tibet was free, not occupied by China, then I would definitely go back. I would go back to Tibet because I've always been dreaming about it. And what is interesting here is that Tashi was born in India. So going back to Tibet doesn't here mean, you know, explicitly going back to where he was born, but going to back to his father's land and mother's villages, as he said here. But for example, Ngozi said that she does feel Tibetan, but she doesn't know about Tibet as such, which is caused by the fact that both her and her parents were born in India. So her Tibetan-ness was kind of just given to her by birth, but not actually taken from her home as much. And in this paper, I will mostly focus on the visual representation of different topics that can reflect this Tibetan-ness, because I only had a month because of the COVID restrictions in India, and I feel that 1 month of field study is definitely not enough, and I do plan to return and have the interviews and the observation and participation again. So I will mostly be focusing on the visual aspect, and I'll be showing you a lot of pictures, so I hope everyone will appreciate. But first, I would like to just talk a tiny bit about the online presence. As I mentioned, it's something that's very important. Here, the two main social media or websites that are used by the artists, but generally by young Tibetans, are Instagram and WhatsApp. WhatsApp is mostly for communicating between them, but Instagram is just a platform to put all the visual media. Here we have, for example, the profile of Tashi Nima, like I said, human but stylized. Here is the nickname. But also some of their works or interviews or just everyday life photos of food or whatever they want to post online are shown on other websites such as YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. One thing that is definitely worth of our attention is that none of them has a website, which used to be a regular thing to do before. The most known artists from the previous generation, such as Gonkar Gyatso, Tserin Sherpa, Tenzin Rigdal, they all had their own websites, or sometimes some smaller site that was like joined to, for example, the gallery site that was representing them, such as Rossi and Rossi. However, I assume it's just because nowadays websites are not as used because of all the social media that we have. So this kind of shifted right to the Instagram, for example. But also there is no gallery as such in Makliod or Majnikatila, so the Tibetan neighborhood in Delhi. The only place where they can showcase their art is mostly either some coffee shops. There is one coffee shop that also has a small gallery. It's called The Other Space, and it's a bit down Jogiwara Road, so a bit lower than Makliol. But the space is very small, and it's mostly a coffee shop anyway. But other than that, they can just show their works in restaurants or some cafes. Sometimes they're doing some murals, stuff like this. So they don't really have a permanent exhibition or permanent space where they actually exhibit even like some small temporary exhibitions. So they have to do it in different ways, such as online. Here's some topics that they choose to showcase. Mostly I try to just list the most popular ones. Of course, they are not exclusive, right? Most of them kind of mix in different artworks, but here are some that I managed to kind of extract and just kind of try to classify. So the first one, which is very interesting, is everyday life or some funny situations and jokes. This, I feel, is mostly is something very new, because everyday life as such, or just like normal funny situations, were never the main topic of contemporary Tibetan artists' works, because they were mostly showcasing in galleries, or some of them were more, a lot of them were more political or had some social commentary, so they were way more serious. But as those are mostly shown online, they are sometimes just some like small funny jokes, which so that made like a funny shift in the topics, because this is a very popular one, I feel like. Some other ones are traditional culture, also the influence of globalization and pop culture, which is something that was very popular before, but now is kind of losing its momentum. But nevertheless, it is still present. Of course, politics and social critique, Buddhism, and also the Dalai Lama, of course. But also a lot of them have something that was never seen before. So side projects such as advertisements, logos, posters, book illustrations, etc. And now I will just show some pictures. We start with a bang. So we have some fart jokes, hilarious, but I noticed that this is something that happens. Here below, I just put the names of the artists. The works usually don't have titles because they're just posted on Instagram. So whenever they do, I do put them, but most of them just don't. And they are mostly works from after 2017, mostly 2020 to 2022. So they are very, very new works. So here we can see just some like funny, quippy, little pictures. The left one by Tenzin Gyurmay is actually like a painting, like a not a digital painting, but like a physical painting. So that's also interesting that even though it is a traditionally conceived artwork, let's say, it is still it has quite a humorous topic. But also, especially JC or Jigme Chodak, he's probably the most popular of the young group that we can meet in Macleod. He is doing a lot of those small digital arts about just everyday situations, just showcasing some like things that he can see every day, like for example this old man just chanting in the streets. That's just something that he did see every day. Those posts usually have some small description on the side on Instagram, so therefore we can see what the artists wanted to say, or they just explain the little situations. So for example, here is one example. But also we have some more, let's say, contemporary or time focused elements, such as the COVID, right? We can see on the picture by Tashinima, and this is just called Problems. But among others, like such universal things as hatred, drugs, discrimination, greed, war, etc., we see COVID, which obviously is quite a time focused little issue. So we can see that sometimes they are trying to just use elements of their life that just happen and try to kind of like maybe do a visual journal via their Instagram. Here we also see a self-portrait by Tenzin Minle and his friend as musicians. So just little artwork. Some of them are done in traditional ways, some digital, as we could see. Then something that has always been showcased, but also is gaining some popularity nowadays, is traditional Tibetan culture. By culture, I mean like generally some visual culture mostly, so like architecture, some clothing as we see here, but also myths, as here Tenzin Gyurme is just in his older style, because the previous painting we saw before was of his more contemporary collage style, but those more graffiti ones are a bit older. But here we can see a representation of the founding myth of Tibet. Whereas Ngoxi is making those little collages out of paper cutouts that are sourced from some recycled paper and like some tin foil and stuff like this. She's actually just trying to recreate traditional dress from different areas of Tibet. Ngoxi is the one that mentioned that she doesn't know so much of Tibet as such, but she did tell me how she is trying to actually learn. She's reading a lot about some traditional like visual culture of Tibet, a lot about dress and jewelry and different accessories, and the effects of this research are shown in her artworks, as we can see here. That is a quote taken straight from the post from Instagram, so all the everything is just all the little mistakes and everything were already there. I just like straight copied it here just to leave it in the original form. But here we can see not only the visual part is showcasing the a very traditional element of the Tibetan culture, but also we have a text that is corresponding to it and is also a historical text, right? A poem by Jessica Dalai Lama with a little translation by the artist himself. So definitely that is an element that is popular. A lot of people are painting the Potala or some just like Tibetans in traditional dress. Like at the beginning I was showing the Shinima's drawing of this girl in traditional jewelry, but also here, for example, is his painting of Tibetan horse riding. We can see it, the nice picture from his atelier. But also Tenzin Kalsang, I haven't shown her work before. She's doing an art form that is called quilling, and it's the use of some very small strips of paper, very thin strips of paper that are rolled, and then this is made into some sort of figurine, as we can see here. And she is mostly reconstructing some figurines from people's pictures. A lot of them are for gifts. Sometimes it's the parents or for some grandparents, of course, but also, for example, wedding pictures. Very often those are in some traditional Tibetan dress from different regions, so also that is an interesting thing to just see by even by Tibetans. Usually those either those posed by Ngoxi, the other girl who made those paper cutouts, or by Tenzin, they are both very very well received on Instagram by other Tibetans in the comments. Definitely that is something that is needed not only by the artists themselves, but also by the other Tibetans that feel the need of this like visual representation of their culture. Another topic that is sometimes can be seen in different artworks is the problems of globalization and pop culture, how it's mixing with the traditional Tibetan culture or even contemporary Tibetan culture, and how it kind of changes the old Tibetan ways. And here we can see some works again by Jigme Chedda, who, for example, if someone doesn't know, the monkey from the right picture is from the famous NFT, so non-fungible token, which is a new phenomenon on the internet that is kind of selling the ownership to a digital picture. So it's definitely something that was very controversial. And here he dressed the monkey in some Tibetan way as a kind of joke. But also on the left, we see some characters from different cartoons or games that are wearing a COVID mask again, but with a little symbol that reminds us of Tibet, of course. But here, one thing that I found very interesting is that Tenzin used the imagery of Tintin, which is a comic by Hergé, a Belgian comic artist, and which is generally known to be a little bit racist in its imagery, but apparently here both Tenzin and people in the comments were very happy about this. So I guess sometimes us as people from the West maybe are taking things too seriously and just don't understand how much representation is important in any way. But here, no, it's just my thoughts. Anyway, yeah, this little puppet that here is made of paper, like I mentioned, of Tintin with a Tibetan flag. But on the left, we can also see the Buddha with a Supreme t-shirt, which is a very expensive streetwear brand, very popular among young people, both in the West, but also in MacLeod, mostly in non-official reproductions, let's call it, that can be found in the streets. Another topic that is very popular is politics and social issues. Here, especially the right picture, both pictures are from Teshinima, but one thing that definitely surprised me was that when we talked, he mentioned that whenever he is doing any sort of artworks, it is always perceived as political because he is Tibetan himself, and how he sometimes doesn't even try to show any political statements, but even trying to like kind of avoid them sometimes, because no matter what he does, it is always perceived as such. And then he made the post from the right that also had a very well, I think you can just say aggressive little note on Instagram that was just like a description to the post. So as we see, sometimes what they say and what they make is not exactly correspondent, which is also something that I find interesting and I will probably mention in my work. However, here, of course, like political issues can be discussed, as there is no such censorship as in China, like in the Tibet autonomous region. So that is something that does appear here. For example, the Panchen Lama, of course, is something that every year for the birthday is just represented. And here, especially the work on the right by Tenzin Gyurma, at first glance doesn't seem political, but then we see the title, 10th March, and immediately we think, oh, why is this person not going on the demonstrations, on the marches, on the streets in general, right? As the 10th March is, of course, the day of the Tibetan uprising, that is always a very important event in the diaspora. So here, I'm not trying to to interpret the work myself. I will definitely ask Tenzin next time I meet him to just tell me more about it, but I wanted to just showcase it as a very important, I think, and interesting artwork that definitely has a political, little political commentary here. Here, another work by Tenzin that's also this quilling, like those little paper strips, but here formed in a more flat, still 3D, but flat picture. And this is also just copied straight from the Instagram post. So also everything is original, the whole writing is original. Which, as we see, is just a little introduction from the artist to people who might not know this story, this event. And even some artists that at first glance might seem very let's say neutral, not interested in politics, sometimes just make some artworks that are deeply political and surprising, among others that we can see on their portfolios or whatever websites they're using to showcase their works. Here, another topic that is oftentimes incorporated in their works is, of course, Buddhism. That is something that is, of course, like just everywhere, right? It's completely ubiquitous in Tibetan culture. So elements of it were also present in some previous works, right? Like the Buddha that was in the Supreme T-shirt and stuff like this. But some of them are just straight up Buddhist pictures, like Tenzin Minle is doing like a series of those more educational posters, like here we can see on the Wheel of Life or the Wheel of Samsara. He is just giving some descriptions. This is just, of course, a small part of it with the picture, but you can even see some little arrows that are pointing there. And of course, those are the descriptions. It's just meant as like an educational poster. There are also others from this artist. And here, Tenzin, the quilling artist, made just a portrait of the Dalai Lama, which, of course, is a symbol of Tibetan Buddhism. So he is very often incorporated in different artworks, especially in Macleod, as this is the place where he resides. And here are some side projects I just wanted to show, which is something that never happened in those in this previous generation of artists, as they just could sell their works in galleries and make money out of it. They had some support from galleries, from different curators. However, most of those young artists that I am working with cannot afford just selling their art. They don't have a gallery. They don't have any. They don't have many customers, of course, so they have to do a lot of some side projects, either working sometimes in restaurants or doing a lot of more like advertising work or logos, as we can see here. The left one is for Students for Free Tibet by Ngoshi. It's a little postcard. But also here, she's also doing some just digital 2D art. Those are some posters. I could also just find them in Dharamsala. There were a lot of posters about violence towards women. Like we can see here, they were just sticked on walls in Macleod when I was there. So that is definitely something that that we can just see around. Like there's also a lot of a lot of paintings they're doing for restaurants or cafes, like sometimes some murals, like I mentioned. Here is a poster for Hasa Tibet Kitchen. It's a restaurant, of course. So a lot of those little side gigs. And I probably talked, oh, I see I already talked quite a lot. Okay, so to go to some concluding remarks, elements that we could see, of course, are kind of juxtaposed. A lot of those are a bit of some like Tibetan identity markers that we can visibly see, but also sometimes they are just compiled with some Western or Indian, some like just, you know, just contemporary world globalized elements that just happen in all societies. But also a lot of Tibetan motifs that are included are just elements of everyday life, such as clothing, masks. One thing that's very important in Tibet in general, but also in those artworks, is the importance of colors. There's a lot of humor, as I mentioned, as we could see. Also, one thing that is mentioned by the artists themselves is how they are learning and teaching about Tibetan culture through their art. As I mentioned, side art is oftentimes a side hobby. They can't really afford just being artists like they would like to be. A lack of censorship allows them to engage into more political topics. And here I would also just, as maybe a conversation starter, say a little bit about my future plans. So definitely I would like to go again to Dharamsala to just spend a few months, preferably with the artists, and just spend more time with them. If possible, organize something together, like maybe an exhibition or some kind of installation that we could just make all together. That would be definitely something that I would love to do, and would be, I think they would appreciate as well. Maybe that would help us just cooperate a little bit better. And I will, of course, continue my consultations with different Tibetologists, but also Tibetans, about those different more methodological and theoretical elements of my work. So here are the picture sources. They are all the Instagram of the artists. I didn't really give any bibliography, as what I was saying was based on the interviews that I conducted. With this, I would like to thank you very much for your attention and start the discussion. Here is my contact information. If anyone of you would like to contact me, then